Isaiah 32 and verse 8 is an amazing, wonderful scripture about generosity. Generosity. Now, some people actually think they're generous until they run into somebody's generous. So being generous is not necessarily our definition of generous, but it's really God's definition of generous. Because God can actually count. He's got a book called Numbers, so we know he can count. And God knows when you're generous. He even notices when you're generous. And throughout the Bible, God noticed generosity. And the reason God knows when we're really generous is because he knows how much we got left. Amen. And he knows how much you spent on Mickey Mouse at Disney World. Come on. And so you can't give Mickey Mouse more than you give to the Lord. And so with generosity, why it is important is because it sets you free from covetousness. And Dad Hagin said the Lord told him, I'm not opposed to my children being rich. I'm opposed to them being covetous. In other words, God's not opposed to you having an abundance, being rich. He's just opposed to you getting all you can all you get, and sit on the can. In other words, God wants us to be generous, and we can be blessed faster through generosity than we can just by holding on. And so the Lord told me one time, he said, your generosity or your sowing will always outperform your savings. Now, what does that mean? There's nothing wrong with having savings. The Bible teaches us to have savings. In other words, don't spend all your money. Put some money in saving. So God's not opposed to you have savings. He just said, your sowing will outperform your savings. So there's times I've taken money out of savings and sowed it, and then God multiplied my savings. Amen. So we want to look at generosity scriptures real quickly here. Isaiah 32, verse 8, and he uses the word liberal in the King James, but for political purposes, we're going to change that. And I think we can do that with the agreement of the Holy Ghost. So the New King James says generous. There you go. Y'all got the NKJV, says generous. So the generous deviseth generous things, and by generous things shall he stand. Everybody say generous.
Generous.
And so really there's only two ways you can sow. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you can turn over there, verse 6. He says when you're giving, you can either be generous or you can be sparing. Sparing doesn't mean that you didn't do nothing. It just means you stayed in your comfort zone. And so the Lord said to me one time, he said, if your giving doesn't affect you much, don't expect your harvest to affect you much either. In other words, he's saying there's something about generosity, 2 Corinthians 9, when you sow generously, but I want you to see it affects more than just your finances. He said a generous person plans to be generous, and it's by their generosity that they will stand. In other words, God said someone who is generous, it affects their life in many ways. It will keep them from falling and collapsing if they'll be generous. Now, Dad Hagin had a man in his church, because he told this story many times, and he said he had a man in his church years ago where he was pastoring, and this guy was a leader in the church and served in the church, but he also was a 30% giver. That means tithe is 10%, but he would give 10%, 20%, and 30%. So he would triple tithe. My daddy always said, you can tithe on what you make, or you can tithe on what you want to make. So we grew up hearing that kind of teaching, and so I took it very serious on tithing, and then double tithing, and then triple tithing, which really you're tithing, and then you're sowing, right? And so I took that very serious growing up. Trent and I first got married, but I took it from this story from Dad Hagin. And Dad Hagin talked about a man in his church who was a generous giver, gave 30%, served in the church, and he was out working on an oil rig, and he fell, had an accident. And terrible accident. They took him to the hospital. The doctor said he would not live. So Dad Hagen went to the hospital. The man's in such serious condition that he said he won't last the night. So his wife was there, Dad Hagen was there. And so Dad Hagen said, I began to plead my case. And he said, Lord, I'm not going to let him die. I command him to live. I'm not going to let him die. And so he began to plead his case, and he said all night long. And he said, he walked up down the hallway. Said, I'm not going to let him die. He said, Lord, I need him. I'm the pastor of the church. I need him. He serves. He's a generous giver. He's influential in the community. I'm not going to let him die. I need him. And if I need him, I'm the pastor, then, Lord, you're the chief shepherd. So if I need him, you need him. And if I need him, I'm not going to let him die. We need him here, Lord. And so all night long, he was pleading his case, and he was saying, Lord, he serves. He's a 30% giver. He's a leader. I'm not going to let him die. Sure enough, the guy was in heaven, and he said, there was Jesus. And he said, and the Lord pulled back a curtain and showed him Dad Hagen in the hospital room and said, your pastor won't let you die. You're going to have to go back to the earth. So he said, but Lord, I want to stay in heaven. He said, your pastor won't let you die. He said he needs you. So he came back, got in his body, and was perfectly healed. So that guy's generosity. So I wonder how you would pray for some people. You'd be like, Lord, they don't do nothing. I see some of y'all looking at me funny. They don't give nothing. They don't do nothing. Just keep them up there. But anyway. Now, don't get mad yet. I'll give you several other reasons in just a minute. Listen. Generosity. There's many benefits to being generous. Many benefits. And he actually calls generous, he said, when you sow sparingly, that's going to determine how you reap. If you sow generously, he said, you'll reap generously. So I asked the Lord one time, I said, how much is generous? He said, why did you ask him that? Well, because I wanted to qualify for that kind of harvest. That's awesome. That's right. And you can't qualify for a generous harvest if you're not generous.
Right. That's good.
In other words, the Lord said to me, harvest never gets confused. You don't have to worry about sowing sparingly and reaping generously. He said, it's not going to happen in spiritual law. He said, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. He said, you're totally in charge of your harvest.
Right.
He said, if you sow generously, you're going to reap generously. He said, the harvest ain't going to get confused. Some people sow sparingly and they pray that God gets confused and sends them a generous harvest. No, spiritual law. When you sow a seed, it actually has your return address on it.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And nobody can block your harvest. Come on, no job, nobody, nowhere can stop your harvest because God guarantees that seed. That seed is guaranteed.
Amen.
All right, now, so when you're sowing generously, so ask the Lord, how will I know when I'm generous? And here's the way the Lord said to me, because generous is really different amounts to different people.
Right.
Now, listen close. I said generous is different amounts to different people and on different occasions. And so actually, anybody can be generous.
Amen.
Amen.
Actually, Jesus pointed out the generosity of some people that were very poor. Their generosity got his attention.
Right.
Even though they didn't give as much as other people, they were actually more generous than other people.
That's so good.
So anybody can be generous.
So
I asked the Lord, I said, how will I know when I'm generous? He said, you'll know. I said, well, how will I know? He said, because when you give generously is when you give so much that you think about it for months later. He said, because if you can give and not think about it for months later, you stayed in the sparing department. But when you give generously, it gets your attention. You're like, where's the Bible? Give me them promises again. There better be a God. In other words, when you give generously, you actually need a harvest. Let's try that again. I said, when you give generously, you really need a harvest. You're like, hey. So you're not just staying in your comfort zone. And so to sow generously, you have to do it by faith. Amen. Amen. And it sets you free from the fear of lack.
Thank you.
Amen. And so to break the fear of lack, Trent and I practiced following the 30% principle that we heard from Dad Hagin. We didn't start off right away. We started off at 20% when we first got married, and it took us about a year that the Lord said, when would you like to do that 30%? And I said, this is not a good time. I was making $150 a week, two babies, two kids, and no Obamacare. And no health insurance, no life insurance. Either you get healed or you just die. It makes you study more. So, and so the Lord said, when would you like to do that? Because I was doing 20% and it stretched me a little bit. And he said, when would you like to step up? Because that was my goal, because I heard Dad Hagin's story. So I thought, well, I could at least do that. So I stepped up. Trent and I agreed. We stepped up to 30%. Now, I have to warn you about that kind of giving. I'm going to warn you. Don't do it. Because if you do it, you could end up having your own personal jet. And I'm going to tell you, it takes a lot to take care of a jet. So I'm just telling you, don't. I'm going to warn you about generosity. Because once you get into the generous department, God said, I will multiply your seed sown. I will make all grace abound towards you. And when he said multiply, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, multiply. So the Lord said to me, I was asking, why don't people get happier during the offering? Because it's usually the saddest part of any church service. Virus or no virus, I mean, people ain't going to get happy. There is a song, Elvirus or something like that. Anyway, so isn't it true? Most churches, not this one, of course, but the Lord loves a cheerful giver.
Amen.
And Dr. Avery Jackson, Detroit, Michigan, brain surgeon, we were there preaching, and he sat on the front row and got so full of joy and full of the Holy Ghost, we just loved Dr. Avery Jackson. So we just saw him at Brother Copeland's preacher's meeting, and he said, did you know that in your brain, there is a pleasure center that lights up in your brain every time you give? He said that actually God designed you to be happier when you're generous and when you're giving. So the Lord loves a generous, happy, cheerful giver because generosity sets you free from the fear of money. That the Lord is my shepherd. And so God designed us to be happier when we're sowing and when we're giving. So if God's going to multiply your seed sown, I said, Lord, why aren't people happier when they're giving? And he said, because most people are thinking subtraction when they're giving. He said, but if you would switch from thinking about what you're sowing to thinking about the harvest that's going to come from it, it would be easier for you to get happy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So he said, quit thinking about subtraction and start thinking about multiplication. Did you know this land, how many acres, 17 acres? This building here, the miracle and the grace happened because of giving. Come on, not just your giving, but the whole corporate giving of this church is such a generous giving church that literally they would come to some of our meetings and we'd be shouting and jumping and running. They'd say, we need to sow a seed because we got 17 acres. It looks impossible if we'll ever get it. And they would sow a seed and here we are.
Glory.
If you think all that giving don't work, step outside and take a bite out of one of them bricks out there, because that's where it came from. It did not come from being stingy. It came from being generous and generosity. Generosity opens up the windows of heaven and opens the heart of God. All right, now go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And here's what he says about it. I'm almost finished here, but I saw a couple people not happy yet, but I'll be finished in just a minute. I usually stay on this until everybody gets happy. Right? So some of y'all, I would just smile just to let me know. 1 Timothy chapter 6, you ready? Woo, I like this. Verse 17. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world. So Paul's talking to Timothy, who's a pastor, and he's saying, talk to the rich people. So he's a pastor, so he wouldn't tell him to talk to the rich people if there wasn't supposed to be some rich people there. So apparently there's supposed to be rich people at church, or he wouldn't tell him to talk to the rich people. Once I found out there's supposed to be rich people at church, I just volunteered for the program. I said, where do we sign up for that? So he says, charge those that are rich in this world. Charge simply means talk to them, right? Charge, da-da-da-da-da-da, charge. We're charging you right now. Charge those that are rich in this world. Number one, don't be high-minded. Don't think you're better than other people. Don't trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Did you know God wants you to enjoy life richly? Let's try that again. I said, God wants you, you don't have to feel guilty or feel bad about driving the best, wearing the best, eating the best, living in the best, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I don't care what anybody else says. God is not opposed to you being rich. Come on, he just says, if you are rich, I'm going to tell you what to deal with. Don't be high-minded. And what else? Don't trust. Don't trust in your money. Woo! You don't want to be like the guy that told his wife. He told his wife, he said, I've worked hard for my money. I've saved it up. My money. I worked hard for it. He said, so when I die, I'm going to be the first one to take it with me. I'll be the first one. So he said, it's all up in the attic. When I die, I'm going to take my money with me when I die. So one day he died, had the funeral, and his wife went, huh, I wonder if he took that money. So she climbed up in the attic, and all the money was still there. She said, huh, he should have put it in the basement. That's so he could get it on the way down. Okay, some of y'all figuring that out. It's easy to be generous when you realize this life is very temporary. We signed up for the eternal plan, amen? So God gives us richly all things to enjoy. Look at this, verse 18. Charge those that are rich that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute. Ready to give, right? Rich in good works. One translation says that they be extravagantly generous. So he's saying it's okay for you to be rich. God just says you need to be extravagantly generous. In other words, some people choke just at the generous, but God said, don't just be generous. I want you to be so generous that it is unreasonable. That even your accountant says, you give too much. Come on, I have my tax guy coming. He says, you give too much. I said, that's why I have too much. Figure that with your pencil. Listen, in other words... Extravagantly generous means your generosity to the point that it's unreasonable, that some people even consider it to be unnecessary.
Right.
Wow. But think about this. Some of the greatest generosity in the Bible, recorded in the Bible, from 1 Chronicles 29 to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. This kind of giving did something that money could never do. In other words, the Lord said to me, if you'll be a generous giver, I'll do things for you that money cannot do for you.
Hallelujah.
What happened? What happened in that kind of generosity? Cornelius, his giving came up before God. How many of you like to just keep giving and be faithful and be generous until it literally comes up before God? And God said, I'm going to have to do something at Cornelius' house. So what did he do? He sent Peter. Angels went on assignment. And Cornelius and his whole family was filled with the Holy Ghost. I'd rather have my family filled with the Holy Ghost than any amount of money in the whole world. Come on, your children, your grandchildren. In other words, your generosity affects more than just your finances. Well, you ought to get happy already. Ha, ha, ha. So he says this. Your generosity, your giving, whether you're rich or you think you're not so rich, you may think you're poor or you're struggling. Actually, Paul commended those in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 because they gave out of their poverty. In other words, 2 Corinthians 8, they gave out. He said they were very poor and they gave generously. Matter of fact, it might be the best time to give is when you're facing financial limitations.
Right, right.
Praise
right.
the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And so Dad Hagin said, if I was looking for a leader, because Pastor Bruce Black asked him, he said, if I was looking for a leader in my church or my ministry, so Bruce Black asked him, what would be the number one characteristic you would look for in a leader? So Dad Hagin said, generous. He could have said a lot of things. He just said generous. He said, why don't you say generous? Because Dad Hagin, he said, because a man or a woman who's not generous will shut down the move of the Spirit of God. Interesting, isn't it? In other words, generosity does more than just financial things for you. Your generosity opens your heart and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, your next breakthrough in your life spiritually may be as connected to your giving as it is to your praying.
Right. Amen.
Boy, this is really getting good in here. Praise the Lord. But if you can break through your thinking, come on, and those limitations, because that's how you got here, to this building, to this church, to this property, there's a lot of breakthroughs you had to have in your thinking.
Come on.
That it's even possible to be here right now.
That's right.
Amazing grace. So he says, that kind of generosity. Oh, boy, this is getting really good. You ready? And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so you have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Just take those three words, God is able, and immediately you have left your natural ability. Come on, your working ability, your job's ability, and you say, now through my sowing, I have accessed God's ability. And my income may be limited, but God is unlimited. The moment I took my sowing serious and I got into the generous department.
Amen.
Go ahead and laugh for a minute. Because if you can get free in this area, you will truly be a Christian. It won't cost you nothing to receive Jesus because he paid for your salvation. But if you're going to follow Jesus, let's try that again. I said, it won't cost you nothing to receive Jesus. But if you're going to follow Jesus, whoo! He said in Luke 16, you'll have to pass the money test. He said, and if you can be faithful when it comes to money, God will entrust you with true riches. Boy, I'm getting happy already. Come on. In other words, he said, if you can pass the money test, he said, I'm going to do stuff for you that is true riches, things that money could never do for you. He said, if you're faithful when it comes to little things, faithful in that which is another man's, and faithful when it comes to money. Whoo! Now listen, Did you know Dad Hagin pastored for 12 years before he started doing his ministry, traveling in Raymond and all that? He pastored for 12 years. And there's one church he had to pastor twice. You know why he had to pastor it twice? The Lord told him, said, you'll have to go back to that church and pastor it again. He said, Lord, why? He said, because the first time you pastored it, you refused to teach them about tithing and finances and giving. You refused to teach them about it because you were afraid of what they would accuse you of. Wow. He said, that's right. He said, I did not deal with them on tithing. I did not deal with them about giving. He said, and you got 2,000 scriptures on giving, 2,000 on money. You've really only got 500 on prayer. You could teach on prayer and people think it's very spiritual. You only got 500 scriptures on faith. People go, oh, that's amazing. But 2,000 scriptures, God's got four times more to say to us about our money than he does about our prayer. Well, it's getting quiet in this church, man, I'm telling you. So he said, the Lord told him, because you robbed them of a blessing, you will have to go back to that church and teach on tithing and the blessing and the benefits of giving and of sowing. And he went back. He said, I'm no longer afraid of what people think about me. I'm just going to teach the word. And he just started teaching the word, and the blessing of the Lord came on that congregation. Are y'all still here? In other words, you can't learn about it if preachers are afraid to talk about it. Amen. And I know some people may talk about it too much, but you know, that's between you and the Lord. You got to hear enough about it to have faith for it. Amen. Amen. And so in this area, Dad Hagin had to go back and teach on it again. And here's what he said. He said, now, don't get me wrong. He said, because I have been just as anointed in receiving an offering for the ministry. I've been just as anointed in receiving an offer for the ministry. Y'all listen? I've been just as anointed. How many know the anointing's very important? I've been just as anointed. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. I've been just as anointed when receiving an offering for the ministry as I was ever anointed in a healing meeting. Think of the anointing in a healing ministry where people are healed of cancer and arthritis and terminal diseases. Think of the anointing that comes to drive that sickness out, to produce health in their body. He said, I've been just as anointed when I was teaching people to give and to be generous as I was ever anointed in a healing meeting. Think about the anointing of the Holy Ghost that would come upon your life to break you free financially so that you're not struggling the rest of your life, and to make a covenant with God concerning your tithe, your offering, your giving, and while you're sowing, to have a supernatural expectation that God is multiplying your seed sown. He's making all grace abound towards you, which means you're going to give more than you've ever given, but you're still going to have more than you ever had. Let's try it again. I said, you can give more than you've ever given and still have more than you ever had. Amen. So when he went back to that church to teach on finances, he said, there was a man in the church, very faithful man, that came up to Dad Hagin and said, I have tithed all of my life. He said, and if anything supernatural has ever happened to me financially, I do not know it. He said, I've tithed all my life. In other words, he said, I've worked hard, I've done well, and I've tithed all my life. But if anything supernatural has ever happened to me financially, did you know there's a lot of tithers that they're good people, but never have a supernatural harvest that they know God did that. So he said, I've tithed all my life, and if anything supernatural has ever happened to me financially, he said, I don't know it. So Dad Hagin smiled at him, and he said, let me tell you something. The next time you bring your tithe or you give your offering, go through the scriptures on tithing and giving and meditate on those scriptures, and then act on that word when you tithe and give. He said the man showed up just a few weeks later with a big smile on his face, and he said, for the first time in my life, something supernatural happened to me financially that I know it was the blessing of the Lord. In other words, you can't just get on autopilot and do stuff out of duty. You've got to act on the word of God and sow in faith, and then in faith expect a harvest, and then declare the power of God in that harvest. In your sowing, and in your saying, and then in your praising.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Go ahead and laugh for a minute. Now, my dad pastored in West Columbia. John Osteen pastored up here. Brother Goodwin pastored in Pasadena, I think. Three very close friends, faith. All right, here's what Brother Goodwin told my dad. The church, the building, the property. He said, everything we have here is paid for. He said, you know how I got it all paid for? He said, anytime we faced a financial challenge, he said, I just danced the money in. What's that mean? He got the word out and started rejoicing like God will multiply your seed sown. And the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. So he started rejoicing and danced the money in. What's he doing? He's believing that there's a harvest of blessing that is coming. In other words, you're a tither and y'all have given concerning this property and you've given concerning this land. But tonight I declare we will rejoice like there's a harvest coming in that will make you say, look what the Lord has done. For the first time in my life, something supernatural has happened to me financially. Whoa, I'm telling you, you ought to rejoice and say, glory to God. I'm a tither, I'm a giver, and I'm rejoicing like the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and the blessing of the Lord, and the money will come and the harvest will come and God will open doors. Come on, God will make a way. Oh, I rejoice. Go ahead and shout about it. Ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah. Now I want you to laugh and praise and shout like you're expecting a harvest that God's making all grace abound towards you, that you have all sufficiency in all things. Be abound to every good work. Hey! Woo! Come on, the harvest is on the way. I said, the harvest is on the way. The money will come. The doors will open, and the favor of God and the blessing of the Lord, ha, 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 will multiply. Woo! Come on, shout like you believe it. Hey, glory to God. Glory to God. No. Seriously, shout like you believe it, that God's opening the windows of heaven, pouring out a blessing. You don't have room enough to receive it. Bless coming in. Bless going out. Make you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Blessed coming in, blessed in the city, blessed in everything you set your hand to. That's the blessing of the Lord. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, rejoice about it. Woo! Ha, ha, ha. Come on, you watching live stream, you rejoice at your house. Run around the house. Run around the couch. Run through the kitchen. Say, I got a harvest of blessing coming into my house, coming into my family. Glory to God. Woo! Whoa, amazing. For the first time, something. I said something supernatural is happening to you financially. Something supernatural is happening to you financially. Something supernatural is happening to you. Woo! Go ahead and laugh a while. Come on, you got a covenant with God. Come on, you got a covenant with God. Woo! God is opening the windows of heaven, pouring out a blessing. You don't have room enough to receive it. Come on, your barns are filled with plenty. The blessing of the Lord upon your house, upon your life, on your church, on your property. The blessing of the Lord. Woo! Ha, ha, ha! Go ahead and laugh another minute. Laugh like you got more money than you'll ever need. I said rejoice like you got more money than you'll ever need. Come on, your checking account is blessed. Your savings account is blessed. Your sowing account is blessed. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Woo. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Ha, ha, ha. I do not lack for ability, ha, ha, ha. I do not lack for opportunity, ha, ha, ha. I do not lack for strength, ha, ha, ha. I never lack for money, ha, ha, ha. I never lack for money, ha, ha, ha. God will turn the stock market around so fast in America, it'll make every business head swim and say, look what the Lord has done, what Satan meant for evil, the Lord turning it around for good in America and in this nation. We plead the blood of Jesus right now. That businesses will reopen and will grow and will multiply faster, so fast that even the experts say, that is amazing. Look what has happened here. In the economy. Ha, ha, ha. God is able. God is able. Woo. Everybody say, God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing comes to me. In abundance, so I have more than enough and plenty to give away. Woo! Ha, 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 ha. You have something, Trent? Come here.
I've never seen this before, but it's like, you know, when drops of rain or condensation just get so full that they just fall. you've seen it, and it just comes down. Mm-hmm. That's what I saw tonight,
yeah.
That your individual and then corporate, hallelujah, giving has gone up, 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 you know, like condensation, and it's just gotten heavy, and it's just about to explode, and this night, there's an explosion in the spirit. Hallelujah. And it's a rain. It's a provision. It's a glory. It's, oh my goodness, it's abundance.
Hallelujah. Woo! Go ahead and shout
it's
a while.
It's falling like rain.
Praise a while. Come on, I'm expecting a supernatural increase in the blessing of the Lord. Come on, right in the time of famine, God will give you 100-fold. Ha, 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 ha. We will not lack. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. Sit down for 1 minute. Sit down for 1 minute. Now listen. Ha, 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 ha. Don't let me interrupt you if you need to rejoice a while. Ha, 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 ha. I want you to take your offering in your hand tonight. Some of you gave last night. You want to give tonight. Offering goes towards the ministry to help the ministry preach the gospel and grow and multiply. So take an offering envelope. If you're writing a check, make it to a Houston Faith Church. If you're watching online, there's a place where you can give online. And when I hear the word, I immediately act on that word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. sowing my seed. Praise the Lord. I might have gave last night, but I'm planning on giving again. Praise the Lord. And so get your offering ready. Ha, 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 ha. Laugh about it a few minutes. The devil says, well, you're being outrageous. You're being unreasonable. You say, that's exactly what I was planning on doing. Amen. And watch what the Lord will do. Ha, ha, ha. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Keep rejoicing. Keep praising. Hallelujah. We're sowing and we're expecting a harvest. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. When you see the harvest come in, remember, Monday night. You say, where'd that harvest come from? Monday night, I heard the word, I acted on the word, woo, and look what the Lord has done. Ha, ha, ha. Go ahead and receive the offering, ushers. You made out a check, you can give by cash, check, or credit card. Y'all sowing online, go ahead and do that and laugh about it. Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. How many of y'all believe in the blessing of the Lord? The blessing of the Lord. It makes us rich. The word rich means abundantly provided for. Come on, more than enough for yourself and plenty to give away. Ha, ha, ha. Glory to God. And so it is the blessing of the Lord. So the blessing of the Lord, we know Galatians 3:13, that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And he says that Jesus was made a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through faith. Amen. Even the promise of the Holy Spirit. So you see the part that the Holy Spirit plays in this blessing. Yes. And that we redeem from the curse. And you see that curse in Deuteronomy 28. And that curse affects your spirit, your soul, your mind, your body, your family, every part of your life. But the blessing, he said, you'll be blessed. Blessed coming in. Blessed going out. So good. The head and not the tail. Above and not beneath. Blessed in your body. Blessed in your mind. Blessed in your family, blessed. So there is that blessing, the blessing of the Lord. And he said it comes through faith. So that means you actually need to believe in the blessing.
Amen.
Amen. The power of the blessing. And when you apply the blood of Jesus, 1 Corinthians 10:16 says you drink the cup of blessing. So when you take communion and you take the cup, he calls that the cup of the blood of Christ, and it is the cup of blessing. So that means you and I are blessed because of the blood of Jesus. We are blood blessed. And he said in that blessing, praise the Lord, I said blood blessed, washed in the blood, redeemed by the blood, forgiven by the blood, have access in the presence of God by the blood. So you can't overdo it talking about the blood of Jesus. In other words, you're blessed because of the blood. Hallelujah, blessed. And he says in that blessing, and he also calls it here the promise of the Holy Spirit. So how does the Holy Spirit come into this? Well, when you receive the Holy Spirit and when you are filled with the Holy Spirit are when you yield to the Holy Spirit. Amen. The way you yield to the Holy Spirit determines his influence in your life. And the book of Acts says that you can actually resist the Holy Spirit. Stephen talked about, he told the Pharisees, he said, you always resist the Holy Ghost. And he said, as your fathers did. He's talking to religious leaders. He said, you have resisted the Holy Spirit and your fathers did the same. So he said, resisting the Holy Spirit could actually run in your family. So the Lord told me if resisting the Holy Spirit could run in your family, he said, so could yielding to the Holy Spirit run in your family. That if you learned how to recognize and yield to the Holy Spirit, he said, it would affect your children. It will affect your grandchildren. to learn how to recognize the Holy Spirit and yield to Him. The Holy Spirit's job, Jesus said in John 14, 15, 16, the Holy Spirit's job is to take what Christ has done for us and make it a reality in us. So the Holy Spirit's job is to take everything Jesus has done for us and make it a reality in our personal experience. Or you could say it this way, the Holy Spirit takes what Christ has done for us and translates it into personal victory. All right, listen close. That means you could have a whole lot of theology and not really have any personal victory. But the moment you yield to the Holy Spirit, He takes everything Christ has done for us and makes it a reality in our experience. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. In other words, we experience the joy of the Lord. We experience the victories when we yield to the Holy Spirit. So He says, this blessing comes upon us, He said, even the promise of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is not the only blessing. The Holy Spirit is the one that brings all the blessing. So some people could actually believe in the blessing, but not recognize or yield to the Holy Spirit and not really experience much of the blessing. So thank God for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And so the blessing of the Lord. So we had these Holy Ghost meetings with Dad Hagin for about 15 years. And so Dad Hagin taught on faith, you know, for 65 years. But then he had a few years he taught on the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And so when the Holy Spirit would start to move, and the Holy Spirit be moving, and you desire or you yield to Him. In other words, you don't have to respond to Him. Come on. If you want to yield to the Holy Spirit, then you mix faith with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And He said, and the blessing of the Lord will come upon your life.
Wow. So good.
So I got to where I'd go to the meetings and I'd sit up as close as I could around the front. And then Dad Hagin, some of the meetings, he'd walk around and then he'd lay hands on some people that he could get to. And he'd lay hands on them, or he'd wave. If the anointing is real strong, he didn't even have to lay hands on. He just kind of wave, and that anointing. And then sometimes, if you sit up close, he might tap you on the head. And you, the anointing, that the power of God, the presence of God, is actually tangible. It's real.
Wow. Amen. Come on.
Amen. The power of God hits you. You're going to know. Man, something just hit me, man. I'm telling you, I feel it right now on top of my head all the way down. The anointing. It's the anointing that does the work. Let's try it again. I said, it's the anointing that does the work. So it's not just gathering information, though the teaching of the word is important. But when the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God starts moving, if you'll recognize and yield or respond to the Holy Spirit. So I just stayed around long enough to where I could learn how to recognize and yield and receive. Aha. So the Holy Spirit takes all you're receiving from God into a whole new dimension. In other words, by faith, we can believe we receive the promises of God, but the moment you're filled with the Holy Spirit, yield to the Holy Spirit, He takes all of your receiving to a whole unlimited dimension. So you could say it this way, the way you receive the Holy Spirit will determine how you receive everything from God. So learning how to recognize Him, yield to Him, receive Him, or how you receive the Holy Spirit will determine. Actually, Dad Hagin said, I know people, he said, I taught them faith for healing, taught them the word on healing the best I could. He said, and they never got healed. But when they got filled with the Holy Spirit, they were instantly healed.
Yeah.
Thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Ooh, I said, thank God for the Holy Ghost. And Jesus was pretty impressed with him. He said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he's going to move inside of you forever. He's going to make you a force to be reckoned with. You will no longer be ignored. When you get anointing of the Holy Spirit, you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you literally have the authority and the power, same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the ability of God when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's not enough just to have him in you. You have to yield to him to where his anointing influences your thinking, your life, every part of you.
So
we are commanded, Wigglesworth said, we are commanded by God to be filled. We're commanded by God to be filled. We're commanded by God to be filled We're commanded by God to be filled with the Spirit. We're commanded by God to be filled. We're commanded by God to be filled. And so Wigglesworth said, and the measure you fail of that, you are that far short of the plan of God for your life. In other words, the way you yield to the Holy Spirit will determine how we yield to the plan of God for our lives. So he said, we're commanded by God. So Wigglesworth said, being filled with the Spirit is not only a luxury, it is a divine command. In other words, what he's saying, it's not some option, not some accessory. And when the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, when he comes, receive him, yield to him. In other words, it's impossible to be a successful Christian without being filled with the Holy Spirit. But the moment you're filled with the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, amen. On the day of Pentecost, when they got filled, they had fire on their head. And you cannot have fire on your head and act normal. And it said all 120 of them. So it doesn't say 50 of them got this and 50 of them got that. All 120 got fire on their head. All 120 were filled. Come on, the wind blew through that, and all 120 began to speak in a supernatural language, praying in the Holy Ghost. And then it said, and Peter had to stand up and say, these are not drunk as you suppose. So apparently they not only got filled, but they must have got under the influence. Are intoxicated, so filled with the Holy Spirit, they got so happy. Come on, you cannot get a sad Holy Spirit. In other words, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is the oil of joy. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit takes everything Christ has done for us, everything, when he's done a bunch, the Holy Spirit takes everything Jesus has done for us, for you, and makes it a reality in your experience. Or he translates that into personal victory. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. I like to say it this way. The Holy Spirit has a reputation for working with some real losers. Don't look around right now. But there's some real losers. Until you got Jesus. All right, so now listen, hear what I'm saying. I said, the Holy Spirit has a reputation to work with some real losers and make them champions. Gideon was a total loser. But when the Holy Spirit came on Gideon, he was changed so much, even his kinfolk didn't recognize it.
That's right.
Did you know the Holy Spirit can produce changes in you that are so radical that the people that knew you years ago won't even hardly recognize you? Come on, instead of being whipped and defeated, come on, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, he'll take the victim out of your voice. He'll put victory in your voice. He'll change your countenance. Come on, the love of God. Wow, you get so full of love, come on, that you everybody looks better to you when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, I couldn't even hardly get along with you, but when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I like you, man. In other words, you get filled with the Holy Ghost and the love of God and the joy of the Lord. They got so full of joy, they appeared to be intoxicated. Ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah. And so in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that's where the blessing is. So I'd go to Dad Hagin's Holy Ghost meetings because I'd listened to him teach on faith for years. And then I thought, well, I'm going to learn something about this because we grew up in the move of the Holy Spirit. I told you last night, my mama would run around the church. Somebody else would dance. Somebody else would get drunk in the Holy Ghost. Had sometimes, in other words, at times of refreshing would come from the presence of the Lord. It didn't happen every Sunday. You know, it's important to have teaching, the teaching of the word. But there were times. Because my daddy would always say, the Holy Ghost can do more in 5 minutes than you can do in 5 years. How many like for the Holy Ghost to take care of some stuff in 5 minutes that affected you for the next 5 years? You ought to laugh about that. Come on, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. In other words, with the Holy Spirit, you're getting God's ability. And so the scripture says God is able to keep you from falling. In other words, you feel weak and you feel like pressure and challenges, but God is able to keep you from falling. God is able to make you stand, it says in Romans 14:4. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think, Ephesians 3:20. And then 2 Timothy 1:12, we know whom we have believed and we are persuaded he is able to keep what we have committed unto him against that day.
Hallelujah.
Ha, ha, ha. And so it says about Abraham's faith, it says that Abraham became strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded what God has promised, he is able to perform. You ought to laugh about that. In other words, I'm just the believer, God is the performer, and when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, man, you couldn't doubt if you wanted to. You get filled with the Holy Ghost, you're like, whoa, God is able to perform his promise. He's able to make my church stand, my family stand, my marriage stand, come on, my business stand, my finances. God's able to keep you from falling, collapsing. In other words, the Holy Spirit, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, he can do, you know, he can walk and chew gum at the same time. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, he can do like five things at the same time. And while you're laughing, filled with the Holy Ghost, he is working Amen. On things concerning your life, your destiny, and your future.
That's right. Hallelujah.
And when you get there, you're going to say, seem like the Lord has already been there. Amen. How many like to get to the next month and the next 6 months say, looks like the Lord already been here. He's got me, he got stuff ready for me. Come on, you ain't there looking around saying, well, I wonder what happened. No, no, you get there and say, the Lord's already ahead of me, man. And you yield to the Holy Ghost, he'll visit your future, take things out of order, bring it into order, and you'll get there and laugh and say, my Father God is taking care of me in grand style.
Hallelujah.
Everybody say, my Father God is taking care of me in grand style.
Amen.
All right, let me finish up with this. So, here's what Dad Hagin would do. So, the Holy Spirit be moving. And so then he would maybe teach a while and then he'd just start walking around and lay hands on people. Yeah. Or touch them, or wave. Depends on the anointing is strong if you receive it. And here's what he would say. Ready? Most of the time, he would say, be blessed.
Yes.
That's all he would say. The anointing, be blessed. And sometimes that wave of anointing would go over the whole section. That's all he would say, be blessed. So I got to where I'd sit up close to the front because I knew if he taps a few people, lays hands on them, or does be blessed, I'd say, I receive that anointing. And every time I'd go home, the blessing of the Lord would break out on the right hand, on the left hand. I'd get up and sit on the front and I'd just tell him, hit me again, man, slap me again, praise the Lord. Because the blessing of the Lord, the power of the Holy Ghost, and that blessing, if you receive that anointing, he said, if you'll receive it, mix faith with it. Woo, it'll open up the supernatural for you. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. Glory to God. The blessing of the Lord. I said, the blessing of the Lord. Be blessed. He just said, be blessed. And that anointing, I said, I receive that. Amen. I receive that. Come on, in Numbers chapter 6, he'd say, the priest would come out and say, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his countenance shine upon you, the Lord give you peace. They receive it. And did you know I was preaching in Singapore a few years ago for Joseph Prince's church, and they had just built a new church, cost $150 million, and paid cash for it. And I preached five services on Sunday. At the end of every service, he or one of his staff members would come up and read Numbers chapter 6.
Wow.
Thousands of people there. And these believers from Singapore, when they pronounce that blessing, they lift their hands up. They receive. They took it very serious. They receive the blessing of the Lord.
Wow.
Ha, 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 ha. And somebody says, how in the world have you been getting along? You say, you know, the blessing of the Lord is amazing. I'm blessed coming in, blessed going out. Christ redeemed me from the curse with his blood. Hallelujah. You can't curse what God has blessed. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. And lift your hands up right now. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his countenance shine upon you and give you peace. The Lord bless you coming in and bless you going out. Because of the blood of Jesus, the blessing of the Lord and the favor of God is upon your life. Spirit, soul, and body, you're blessed. And by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit who lives in you, the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon your life and your family, so you will break out into new blessing. New blessing in every area of your life. And you'll honor and praise and magnify the name of the Lord. And you'll go free from the things that have limited you in the last 12 months. And you'll go into new blessing and new territory. And you'll laugh. And God said, I'll make you a sign and a wonder and a testimony of my goodness to your family and to those around you, because you will testify of the goodness of God and the blessing of the Lord upon your life, and you will break out into new territory, and you'll give the glory to Jesus, and you'll be filled with the Holy Ghost, and you'll be changed, and the glory of God will be in manifestation in your life. So get ready for the next 12 months in your life and declare it with your mouth. I'm blood blessed. I'm blood blessed. I got the Holy Ghost living in me. Now lift up your hands and shout about it. Lift up your voice and praise God for it. The blessing of the Lord. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, come on, open your mouth wide. I receive the blessing of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ha, ha, ha. Now mix faith with that right now. I believe I receive it right now. I believe I receive it right now. Ha, ha, ha. And I expect, woo, new territory, new blessing, the increase of God. Ha, ha, the grace of God. Woo, come on, give the Lord praise. Thank you, Lord. Ha, ha, ha. Orobosele barakatehea. Ha, ha, ha. Endele boroko shebravia. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, open your mouth wide and praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your Holy Spirit living in us. You're able to make us stand. You're able to keep us from falling. You're able to make all grace. It is your ability. You're the performer, Lord. We believe in your power. We mix faith with the power of the Holy Ghost. We lift our voice and give you praise. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. We'll break out into new blessing in the name of Jesus. Ha, ha, ha. Go ahead and laugh a while. Glory to God. Ha, ha, ha. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ha, ha, ha. Lord, you restore. You restore years. You restore time. You restore health. You restore joy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. The blessing of the Lord. Ha, 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 ha. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Give the Lord a shout. Glory. Ha, ha. Glory.
Hallelujah. We are yielding to the Holy Spirit. That's what's happening. You talked about that. And we are yielding to what he's saying. We're yielding. And you said you're going to break forth into new territory. Break forth into new realms. And when you said that, because we're yielding, God is breaking forth into our lives as well. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We are breaking forth into new things, but it's because God, as we yield, is breaking forth into our lives as never before, and in new realms, in new areas.
Thank you.
As never before, as you yield to him, he is breaking forward. So it's a picture not only of us bounding forward, breaking boundaries, but it's this. God is breaking forth into our lives and becoming bigger and bigger on the inside. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's filling us with all of himself. And so as you kiyama and ebo sokote, and as you yield emanambe and become aware of him, imanamasiko to do lombre, estanda ke zebra, and as you receive by speaking, ebalamas de kete, you open the door to yeta kale varoha kisi. Roho kijimanda ezimenda la ma ke dos de, and he will borebo stama, and he will fill and flood and breathe eberama kistubete hesamonde ye halau koemas.
So as you learn the way of the Spirit, and as you yield to the Holy Spirit, recognizing him. For he dwells and lives on the inside of you. So recognize him in the morning and the afternoon and the evening, every single day. Recognize him and yield to him and make room for him and respond to him, and he will rise up on the inside of you. Oh, and he will give illumination to your mind, your thinking. He will bring to remembrance even the things the Lord has said to you and the word that you may have forgotten. And he'll think through your mind. And then he'll tell you to lift up your voice and magnify the Lord and exercise your authority. So in the morning, in the evening, and as you lift your voice and as you open your mouth wide, and the praises of God fill your mouth. Then I'll fill you with the Spirit of God in a measure that you have never been filled before. You'll be filled and flooded more than you can contain of the Spirit of God and the anointing, and you'll go forward into new territory that you've never seen before and into new blessing like you've never had before, and I'll use you in ways you've never been used before. So recognize this season and this time and hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you and set yourself apart to seek my face, saith the Lord, for I'll give you fresh revelation and I'll open the eyes of your understanding and I'll even change the voice and the influence of your voice and it shall multiply. And you'll enter into a new season and enter into a new dimension of the call of God and the plan of God for your life. For as you yield to the Spirit of God, it shall open a door and access given to you in places in the Spirit and places in the will of God that you have not accessed before. So yield to the Spirit of God, recognize him, and learn to yield your tongue and praying in the Spirit and praising and magnifying the Lord, and a fresh anointing shall come upon you for such a season as this. For even though the powers of darkness in this hour have begun to move, yet I will lift up a standard against them, saith the Lord, like a mighty rushing river of my presence and my glory, and times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and you as a believer shall be strengthened with mighty power. And you'll laugh and rejoice, and a new joy will fill your heart, for you've entered into a season of being filled and filled again with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, lift your hands and open your mouth wide. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sebega devaso, amakati eleveso, o romo nesifara bandele istakara. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Fill, amangondo boko si pravea. Fill, fill with praise, fill with joy, fill with the Holy Ghost. Full of joy, full of the Holy Ghost, and changed by the glory of God, and walking into new blessings. And new territory. Ha 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 ha. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ha 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 ha. Glory to God. Ha ha. Just yield to the Holy Ghost and let that river flow. Rivers, rivers of living water. Ha 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 ha. Rivers of the life of God flowing. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Previsa. Amaka laveda ashtokoda beya. And your eyes, the eyes of your understanding, shall be flooded with light, so you'll see, and you'll know, and revelation knowledge will be given unto you. Ha, 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 ha. And you'll see and walk in the light, and you'll not be deceived or tripped up by the enemy. Ha, 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 ha. And so now the changes you have desired, they have come. And it is not by your ability, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. So no longer can you say, I can't do that. I've tried that and it didn't work. But now the Holy Ghost is working in you, and it will work and it will come to pass. Well, give the Lord a shout. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Ha, 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 ha. Praise the Lord. Ha, ha, ha.
I just see a threshold. You know, like a threshold is the door, where the door is, you know, and you step across, you know, how the groom carries the bride, you know, across the threshold. And when he does, it's a dwelling place. It's a place to stay. It's something new. Hallelujah. And as we yield to the Holy Spirit, he's bringing us into a cross and into the threshold, across the threshold and into a new office, a new place, a new dwelling. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants to speak something to these pastors because they pressed for this. And because of this, the door is open for all of us to come in. And so the Holy Spirit and Jesus is, and there's an invitation and a carrying into the new. Hallelujah. So, imaste tikiste, alandato que si, abadigiano, nemo non lo lumbre. Sakai siono, shivra koye lama. Ah, se doreme, yengolamoso, hakoye mande, hakole metiano so, aliano nombra ki, ane ushalevisia.
So you have entered into a new season, entered into a new door, into new territory, and new blessing. And it has taken some time to get to this place, but now there shall be an acceleration, even in your understanding and your learning, that you'll feed my sheep, you'll feed my lambs, and the spirit of wisdom and revelation shall flow through you, and the word of the Lord shall have free course. And in this place, there shall be a desire and a hunger and a place where people can come and be filled. Filled, full of faith, but also filled with the Spirit of God. Yes. And the Holy Ghost shall work, and at times in this place, the glory of God will fill the house. And the presence of God will fill the hearts of men, and they shall be satisfied. And so make room for the Holy Spirit and yield to Him, for you will now in the next few months and the very close years here, I'm saying 1 or 2 years, you will multiply. You will leave the time of addition and you'll say, well, look at there, things have doubled up here. Not only in the number of disciples, but also in the blessing and the finances that are yours. So you'll enter into a new season of blessing because you've been faithful even in the times that it seemed like, how long is this going to last? But now it shall accelerate and you'll laugh and rejoice, and I'll use your voice to instruct and to lead others. So now recognize this new season, for a fresh anointing shall come upon you, that it will seem like even a double portion of the Holy Ghost, and the word of the Lord, and the teaching of the word, and the ministry of the word, and the voice of the Lord shall be heard in this house, and it shall have great influence far and wide. So you have labored to come to this point, yeah, but now the next point shall be easy. Ha, 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 ha. So you'll laugh as you enter this new season. And the increase and the anointing shall multiply. And you'll be filled with joy. Look what the Lord has done. And this house will be filled not only with the glory of God and the goodness of God, but I'll send people from all around that'll come to hear the word and to be changed by the glory of God. So you'll have dreams and visions in a new dimension and in a new season. And you'll wake up in the morning and say, seem like the Lord visited me all night long. For he has prepared me for such a time as this. Well, lift your hands up and thank the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. Glory to God. Ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah. Ha, ha, ha.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved, and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.